begin the current daven stuff. Decide the daf chav test. We begin 15 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with a discussion related to the brisa that was introduced in the previous daf. That is, the brisa was introduced regarding the machlikis, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, regarding the how many times it says benitmus in the parash of Saita. But also included in that brisa was a halacha that taught us a kavachomer in regards to halachas of Safek Tumah Bishus HaYachid, which is, we learned that a kavachomer from Saita to Sheretz. Just like by Saita, where it's a situation of doubt, and yet still we consider the Saita as if she's definitely Tamei. Now, that has to be A, in the Bishus HaYachid, in the place which is secluded. That's where the whole premise of Stira applies in the context of the parasha of Saita. So too, by a Sheretz, where there you even make Shege Kemezid and Einis Keratzin, for sure we're going to make that a Safek is going to be like Vaday. Now additionally, another criterion mentioned, since we're learning out Sheretz and Saita, was, as the Braisa said, just like by Saita, the halacha is that it has to be something that has Dasli Shoyal, meaning to say that you can inquire about the person that is a doubt if it was Tami or not, which in this case is the woman, the suspected adulterous woman. You could ask her, did you become defiled or not? Now, she might not answer you, which leaves us in a situation of doubt, but only then do we say the Safek is like a Vaday. So therefore, also regarding the context of Safek Tumah Bishus HaYachid, it additionally has to be something that has Das Lishol, has to be something that could be inquired about, either that the thing that became Tami is a person, or at least a person was holding it at the time that the doubt had arisen, where then you could ask the person, did this thing become tummy now? Although they might not know, but at least it's something that has dasli shoyel, something that someone that could be asked, and then we'll say that Safek is kevada. Now, on that, the Gemara continues and says, I'm Rav Gidl, I'm a Rav. Rav Gidl says, name of Rav, that davish yesh be dasli shoyel. Ve'im be dasli shoyel, this halacha that we said, that the parameters are that if it's something that could be asked, then we'll say that the Safek will be like definite tumma. Whereas if it doesn't have das to be asked, meaning it's an inanimate object and there was no person around, then the suffix, the doubt, will not be considered as tuma. Mehai kronafka, we're learning out from the following pasuk. As the pasuk says in Meyikra, it says, v'habasar, which is in the context of the meat of a carbon, asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ya'achal, if it's going to touch anything that's impure, then the carbon cannot be eaten anymore. Now, the inference of the pasuk is, v'adai tamei hu de lo ya'achal, it's only something that definitely became tummy, that cannot be eaten. It says, if it touched something that was tummy, then you can't eat it. Hasafik tummy v'safik tar. What it sounds like from the pasuk is, but if it's not clear if it became tummy or if it's tar, then it could be eaten. However, Ema Seva, look at the end of the pasuk. Pasuk says, v'habasar, and the meat, kol tar yechel basar. Whoever is pure can eat the meat. Now, what that sounds like is, that v'adei tar hu du yechel basar, only someone that's definitely tar could eat the meat. Hasavik tummy v'savik tar lo yoichel. But if someone is not clear if he's tar or tummy, he cannot eat the meat. So what is it? Do we say that a suffix is considered like tummy or not? In the context of the meat itself, we said that it sounds like that it will be considered like it's tar. It's only if it's for sure tummy, then it's going to be tummy. Yet in the context of a person eating the carbon, we said that it's only if he's for sure tar. But if it's not clear if he's tar or tummy, that he's considered like tummy. So how do we understand this pasuk? Rather, from this says Rav, we can infer from this pasuk that Khan, over here where the pasuk says v'chol tar yechol basar, by the end of the pasuk, whoever is pure could eat the meat, which that's obviously talking in the reference of the purity of the person, his body. That is sheyesh b'dasli shal. That's a situation of doubt where you can inquire by the person who he has knowledge to be able to respond to your question. There, yes, the pasuk tells you that the suffix, the doubt, is going to be tummy. It's only if he's tar, definitely, then he could eat. Hakan, whereas here in the beginning of the pasuk, that says, habasar ashayiga, regarding the piece of meat that comes in contact with something that's tummy, vir is she'im b'das lishol, that's talking about something, which is a piece of meat that cannot be asked about if it became tummy or not. Where there, the halacha is, as we said, that the suffix is going to be tar, because it's only something that has das lishol, then we say the suffix tumma is going to be considered like definitely tumma. Now, that the Gemara says, now, v'itzach Rav Gidl Amarav, so we needed this halacha of Rav Gidl Amarav regarding this halacha of Das Lishal, v'itzach l'migmer me'saita, which the question is, why do we need Rav Gidl Amarav? We already know this halacha from the Braisa, which learned it out from Saita. We're just like the woman herself, who the doubt is about her tumma, she could be asked, then we say the suffix is like a vaday. So too by Sheretz, so too by other areas of tumma. Why do we need Rav Gidl Amarav's halacha, and why do we need that of Saita? So the Gemara explains, Rav, had we only had this source of Rav, Havamina, we would have thought to say that that this halacha, that if there is the doubt is regarding someone that could respond to you, and whether they know or they don't know, but that provides a situation of doubt, that in all situations, even in the public domain, we'll say that the suffix tama will be considered tame. Now, it's a chlemigmer meseita. That's why I had to learn out this halacha of dasli shol from meseita, which that has another criterion, which curtails it a little bit more and says that this halacha of dasli shol is only going to be considered suffik kevadai only if it's in the rishos yachad, which is where the context of meseita is. Now, the imeseita, had we only learned it out from the seita, havemina ad ikka das nogeyu umagia, we would have thought to say that this halacha, that suffik is kevadai, is only if you have the knowledge, meaning there's two parties involved when there's a suffik tuma. There's what's touching and what's getting touched, which the one that's metame and the one that becomes tame. So we would have thought, just like by saita, where there she has das, the one that was contracting tuma, and the one that gave her tuma, which is the boil, who was metamahar. So if we learned it out only from saita, we would have thought that the halacha of suffik kevada is only if not only does the das lishol of the what contracted the tuma possibly, but even what is contract, what's giving it the tuma, also has to have das lishol. That's why tzricha, we needed to have this halacha of Rav Gidl that learns it out from kol tahar, which tells us that, but the person, if he's not sure if he's tahar, cannot eat the meat, because since he has das, who he's the one that possibly became tameh, that is where we say that if it has das lishol, already we're going to be considered as vaday, but doesn't mention anything regarding what was metamehim to say that that also has to have das, and if it has nothing to do with the metameh, it's only regarding the one who possibly contracted tuma. If he has das lishol and it's in a rishus hayachin, then the halacha is going to be that the suffix is going to be considered like vaday, and that's what we needed both halachas to teach this halacha. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, where the first halacha in our Mishnah obviously applied to our Masechta, which was talking about the halacha of Saita. Now, as Rashi explained in the Mishnah, that halacha took place on what's called as Ba'iba Yoyim, the day that they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the Nasi, which there was many more students that came into the Beis Medrash. So therefore, the Mishnah accounts different halachas that were also Ba'iba Yoyim. So it says, Ba'iba Yoyim Dosh Rabbi Kiva, was on that same day that Rabbi Kiva expounded the following halacha. V'chol kli cheres v'chulu, that the Pasuk says that every earthenware vessel, that it says there in that pasuk the lashon of yitma, which as we explained in the Mishnah, it should have just said tame. It said yitma, where although it means that it will become tame, but it could also be read as yitame, it will go ahead and transmit tuma. Where from there, Rabbi Kiva learns out from a pasuk that there is such a concept known as a shlishi lechulun, which the most severe tuma, which the corpse is avi avos, but generally everything else is that starts off tuma is an ava tuma. A derivative of that is a Vlad or a Rishain, then it goes down to a Sheni. Now, Rabbi Kiva was being machadish that even a Chulin, which is not as the severe sanctity as Chumo or Kachim, could also become a Shlishi household, because the Pasuk says that if a Sheret, which is an Abatuma, falls into the ear space of an oven, that the oven becomes Tame, which makes it into a Rishain, then it says whatever is inside the oven will become Tame, which is the loaf of bread, becomes a Sheni, but it used the word of Yitma, which could be read Yitame, saying that loaf of bread, which is a Sheni, because every time it transmits, it goes to one level lower, can also be metama other things, which means to say, and it doesn't say specifically that a high level of tara like a truma or kachim, seemingly everything which would be even chulan and meiser sheni, that it will also make it into a shlishi. Now, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yechanan, because as it was commented in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shua said that Rabbi Yechanan, who is going to take off the dust from your eyes? Because although Rabbi Yechanan himself had made this same conclusion that there's going to be even a halacha of a shlishi, but he said that there's going to be a later generation that's going to be matar and say that there is no halacha of a shlishi. But he himself said it is going to be tameh, and that Rabbi Shua commented and said, Rabbi Yechanan, you said people later are going to be matar a shlishi? Your student, Rabbi Kiva, not only does he say that it's tameh like you, but he even brings a pasuk to say that it's tameh. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, since obviously Rabbi Yechanan didn't have this pasuk, because if he had a pasuk, he wouldn't say a later generation would contradict the pasuk. So he didn't have a pasuk. So according to him, lama tame. Why is it that he held that at least by the halacha of truma that there is going to be a shlishi? Where do you see a source for a halacha of shlishi? Again, Rabbi Kiva, as we just mentioned, brought a pasuk to say, and seemingly even for chulin, that it could create a shlishi. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that obviously didn't have that pasuk, and he held that a later generation is going to refute whatever logic he had, that he said there is a halacha of a shlishi, at least by Truma, where does he know this halacha from? So Amar Yehuda Marav, he says, the Minat Torah Eimah, you're right, he didn't have, obviously, like Rabbi Kiva expounded, a pasuk to tell you that there's a halacha of a shlishi by Truma, but Medin Kavochayme Yeshloi, he understood it from a halacha of a Kavochaymer, which, as the Gemara will shortly explain, he held the later generation is going to refute the Kavochaymer, which he didn't hold that that's a refutation. What's the Kavochaymer? As follows. Uma Tvul Yoyim, we could learn it out from the halacha of a Tvul Yoyim. Tvul Yoyim was someone that was Tamei, and he immersed himself in the mikveh, and however, he didn't have yet sundown, which is called Harav Shemesh. So he's on the day, he's waiting for sundown to be totally tar, but he at least did part of his tar process, which is immersing himself in the mikveh. With halacha is shemutra b'chulin. A tvul yom is permitted in chulin, which includes in this, whenever we use the terminology here, chulin, it means even meiser sheni. Whereas the Gemara explains in Masechet Yevamos, daf ayin dalam abeis, from a reference of three different psukim, which we learn out that there's a gradations of three different levels, where if the tummy person at least immerses himself in the mikveh, even though it's not even sundown yet, he's already permitted in chulin and meiser. When he has the next level of development, which is sundown, he's permitted in truma. Then the following day, when he brings his kapara, his carbon, for example, there are certain tumas that require a carbon to be brought after them, then it'll be permitted in kachim. So a tful yoyim da halacha is, that is, meaning he already immersed himself today, so he's permitted in chulin, yet poisel b'truma, as we just mentioned, but he is invalid for truma. So that's a kal, because what's mochamer is kikir sheni, which is what we're discussing over here, the halacha of our Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva was expounding about. A loaf of bread, which is a sheni, again, the sheretz was the av, the oven was a rishon, loaf of bread is a sheni, shepasl b'chulin, which is problematic for chulin. And that is because, as it says in pasuk in Meyikra Yudalf, it says, kol asher b'toicha yitma, whatever is inside the oven will become tamei, which tells us that chulin, including meister sheni, and truma, and kachem, are seemingly all included there in the pasuk, where that a loaf of bread becomes a sheni. So even if it's a chulin, so if it's possible by chulin, which is not the case for tful yom, a tful yom is permitted in chulin, yet he's problematic with truma. So kik, a loaf of bread, which is a sheni, which is problematic with chulin, ein adin shiyasa shlisha b'truma, isn't it a kavochaymer that it should make a truma item that it comes in contact with into a shlishi? Now Rashi asks the obvious question, which is that what's called daye lovim min hadin li is kenidin, which is learn out only what you see from what you're learning out and not more than that. In other words, okay, fine. So obviously, kikur sheni is more chomer than tful yom, but say that it should be exactly like the tful yom, which is okay, that it's going to be problematic with truma, but it's only going to make the truma into a sheni. Who said it's going to make it into a shlishi? Because that's all that we see from tful yom, is that it makes the truma into pasul. So here, we're saying that kikur sheni, meaning to say that meiser sheni could become a sheni, so then say, okay, fine, the truma could also become a sheni. But who said that you could make it into a shlishi? And that Rashi says, no, because if you said dayer, then you really would be undoing the whole kavochemer. Kavochemer is something that we have as in the halacha of the midas that Torah and drashas behen. The kavochemer is mandating that it say a kavochemer. Now, if you would say that it's only for a sheni, for truma, but that you already know from the pasuk, just like chulin. Because, just like we said, that from the pasuk of chulin, you see the ovens are rishon, the bread is a sheni, now that's everything, including truma. Now, the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama, the Chofei Med Alev, that if you would, by saying dayoy, that there wouldn't be any more kavochaim anymore, then you don't say dayoy, and you extend it even beyond what you're seeing from what's the more kal. I mean, the kavochaimer says, you have something that's more lenient, yet it has this stringency, so something more stringent for sure has that stringency. On that asks Rashi, fine, so it has that stringency, but limited to what that stringency is by the more lenient thing, which would be seemingly only telling us that a truma can be a sheni. On that Rashi explains, no, because then you wouldn't have a kavochaimer, because you already know that from the pasuk that tells us that even chulin is a sheni. So when if it was saying that it could even transmit tumah to something more that's more sanctified, of truma, that obviously it's saying that even a step further, that truma could become tameh, yeah, what, a sheni? Of course, even meisa sheni could be a, even chulin could be a sheni. And if we're saying that we're learning kavochaimer from tful yom, that doesn't, is not problematic with chulin. Yes, yet it is with truma, So if we're extending that based on the Kavach Chaymer to the halacha that we're discussing over here, of a kikur sheni must be that could even make a shlishi b'truma. So therefore, that's how the Gemara explains. That is the source of Rabbi Yechanan, that he knew that you can have a shlishi of truma from a Kavach Chaymer, and that's what he said that the future generation is going to refute. And Rabbi Kiva, actually, his student, which was pointed out, actually said like him, but even more, he actually brought a pasuk. Now, however, on this, the Gemara asks, Ikla Mifrich, you can refute this Kavach Chaymer, which is as follows. Malat Tful Yoyim, how could you learn out and say that Tful Yoyim, someone that was tummy and immersed himself that day, that is more lenient than a Kikur Sheni? As we see, that is not problematic with Chulun, yet it's problematic with Truma. So a Kikur Sheni that is problematic with Chulun, for sure is going to be problematic with Truma. And again, as we're saying, that we don't say Daya, and we're extending that even to a Shlishi. But the problem is, Tful Yoyim is not necessarily all the way more lenient than Kikur Sheni. Shekein Ava Tuma, because a Tful Yoyim can very likely be an avatuma. For example, let's say someone that became tummy from coming in contact with a corpse, or a zav, someone had a certain emission from his body, or his mitzayra, where their tumma is an avatuma. Now, although now they get downgraded a little bit because they're tful yom, they immersed themselves already, and therefore he's permitted in meiser, but that's maybe why he makes truma puzzle. Whereas by a sheni is not an avatuma. It's by default not an Ava Tumma. It's something that got its Tumma from a Rishon, which got its Tumma from an Av. So therefore, how can you say a Kavach Chaymer from Tful Yoyim? Oh, Tful Yoyim is less. It's permitted, and yet still it could be make a Pasal Petruma. Oh, for sure, Kikur Sheni. What are you talking about? Kikur Sheni, on some level, is more Kal than Tful Yoyim. Because Tful Yoyim, at least, it's coming from an Ava Tumma. So that's why it could be Pasal and Truma. Who said a Kavach Chaymer to say that a Kikur Sheni can make a Truma into a Shlishi? So the Gemara answers this question by saying, Tasi, you're right, we should learn this as we continue on Tamad Beis, mitful yom disheretz. Actually, we would learn out the Kavach Chaymer that Rabbi Yochanan is apparently holding of from a tful yom of a sheretz, meaning if a person touched a sheretz, so he becomes a rishon l'tumah, the sheretz is the avatumah, it's the source of the tumah, and the person that touched it becomes a rishon and not an avatumah. Now, when this person immerses himself in the mikvah, when he's a tful yom, he becomes permitted in Chulin, yet, however, he's still forbidden in Truma, and actually even to touch Truma. And the reason being is because it mentions the concept of Harav Shemesh, of waiting for sundown, even for vessels, as the Pasuk says in Yikri Yod Aleph. It says, B'mayim Yuvah, that if it will come into water, meaning this vessel became Tamei, and B'tamei Ado Erev Tar, and it's going to be Tamei until the evening, and then it becomes Tar. Now, obviously, the food item, the vessel, In context of truma is obviously regarding touching truma, because a vessel is not eating truma like you could say regarding a person. So obviously it's regarding handling it with truma. So obviously we see that a vessel that's a tful yoyim is going to be pasul with truma, and therefore we find, based on this Kavach Chaymer, that we could say that if we have a tful yoyim of sheretz, this person or utensil for that matter that became pasul and became tummy from a sheretz and was immersed that day, so where it's already permitted to be handled with chul and ma'aser sheni, yet it's problematic for truma. And here you don't have an element of refuting the Kavach Chaymer by saying, oh, of course it's severe, it's more severe actually because it's from an avatum. It's not, it was just a rishon, and yet still it's problematic for truma. Kavach Chaymer for a sheni, for this loaf of bread, that's a sheni, that's a second level of truma that for sure could make truma into a shlishi. And I think Mark continues asking on. But malat ful yom disheretz, it's not true. There is still a certain stringency in what you're trying to draw as the kal for the chaymer to say that it's more lenient than the kikur sheni. On some level, it's ful yom disheretz still has a certain stringency, which is shekein b'minoy avatuma, because whatever is a tful yom from a sheretz, meaning that became a rishon by touching a sheretz and that immersed itself on that day, at least its type is something that could become an avatuma. In other words, if this vessel, be it, or this person that we're saying is only came in contact with a sheretz, if it would come in contact with a mess, which is an avi avoisa tuma, a grandfather level of tuma, then this person or vessel would become an ava tuma. Now, the reason why that's so important that it could become an ava tuma is because a person or utensil could only become tummy from an ava tuma or higher. Now, on that, how can you learn a Kavach Chaymer to this Meiser Sheni, to this Sheni that's a food item, to this bread that we're discussing in the Mishnah, where it cannot become an Avatuma ever? It doesn't have B'minoy Avatuma. even if it would come in contact with a mess, as the pasuk says in Bamidbar Yotes, says v'chol ha'sheyigabai ha'tameh yitma, whatever touches the corpse that's tameh will become tameh. Now, from here is actually where we know the source of the halacha of a tameh mess, that he becomes an ava tumah, where then he could go ahead and transmit tumah to a person and to utensils. Now, as Rashi proves this, you have to say that it's talking about the halacha of a tameh mess, which that's the halacha that what applies, what's applicable in the halacha of tameh mess. What could become an ava tumah by coming in contact with a corpse which is avi avrisa tumah is only something that could become tar in the mikvah. The reason being is because the pasuk before that said, v'hiza hatar al hatameh v'rachatz b'mayim. Whoever is pure will spray the paraduma ashes on who is tameh, and that's day 3 and day 7, and then he'll bathe himself in water, and then after the 7 days he'll become tar. So obviously you see that only something that can be purified through the mikvah, and obviously through that's added on even the spraying of the paraduma ashes, only that type of a thing can become an ava tumah by coming in contact with a corpse. That excludes food item and beverages and earthenware vessels which don't have tahor. You can't immerse a food item that became tameh in the mikveh. That doesn't purify it. So therefore, ask the Gemara, you don't have a kavah chaymer. Because even though we're saying, okay, so what we're talking about, that's a tefil yayin that we're trying to learn of the kavah chaymer from, is not itself an ava tumah that then immersed. It was only a rechin. But still, whatever this item is that we're talking about, that's a tefil yayin by default, means to say it immersed itself in the mikveh, it's talking about an item that could have tahara. Something that could have tahara by being purified in the mikveh is something that could become an ava tumah by coming in contact with a corpse. Whereas this oichel sheni, this food item that we're talking about, this loaf of bread, that again became tummy from, that we're trying to extend and say, oh, it can make a shlishi, at least of truma, it's not a kavochimer. Because although, yes, that's problematic with chulin, and you're saying, oh, but it's fulium is not problematic for chulin, so therefore, if that can make truma problematic here, for sure it can make truma problematic, it's not true. Because on, even though in that context it's more lenient, but it has a certain stringency, because at least a vessel or a person, whatever it is that we're discussing, is it full yayim, is by default something that was immersed, and if it was immersed, it could be something that becomes an avatoma, whereas food items that cannot be immersed cannot become an avatoma, and therefore on some level it's not mochamer to make this kavachemer. So now the Gemara answers and says, kli cheres yichiyach, an earthenware vessel could refute the question that you're asking on our kavachemer, and the reason being, as we just mentioned, that an earthenware vessel is also something that cannot become an ava tumah, as we said, because it's not something that can be immersed in the mikveh. If an earthenware vessel becomes tumah, you have to break it. And yet, it does make truma tumah when it's a rishon, and for sure that when it's a sheni, it's going to make the truma pasul. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is answering, that you don't have to wonder regarding this loaf of bread that's a sheni, although that you're right, a bread, a food item, is not something that even in its species could become an ava tumah, still it's going to make truma pasul, because obviously we see that the reasoning is not contingent on being able to become an ava tumah, because a kli cheres is something that cannot become an ava tumah, and yet still it makes truma pasul. So therefore the Gemara says we could extend the kavochimer to the eichel that's a sheni and say that here where it is even problematic with chulin, for sure it could go ahead and make truma into a shlishi. But that the Gemara asks, how could you learn that from kli cheres? Because malik kli cheres, how can you learn from kli cheres that has its own stringency that doesn't apply to kikur sheni? Shekim etam and ma'avirei. Because what's unique about an earthenware vessel, unlike all other types of vessels or any other thing, it could transmit tuma just from its ear space. Besheretz falls into the ear space, doesn't even touch it, it becomes tummy. So yes, maybe that's something that could make truma tummy, and that you can't learn out the kikur sheni, which doesn't have this transmission of tumah in its ear space. So you can't learn that from kli cheres, and neither can you learn that from tefil yayim of sheretz, because they're at least ben mina ava tumah. So on that the Gemara says, well, tefil yayim yichiyach. Tefil yayim will refute the stringency that seemingly is unique to kli cheres, because let's say a metal vessel, which is able to have immersion in the mikvah, it does not contract tumah from its ear space, and yet still it does make truma pasul. So don't tell me that you can't learn out the halacha of making truma pasul from a kli cheres, because, oh, maybe kli cheres could make truma pasul because it's unique that it could transmit truma from its ear space. And that the Gemara says, no, you can't say that's the reason why it makes truma pasul. and to say that's why you can't then go ahead and compare it to Kikur Sheni, because look at all other vessels where does have tefillah in the mikvah, where they don't transmit tumah from the airspace, and yet still they make truma pasul. So the Gemara says, v'chayzer adin. So then the logic goes round and round. In other words, loiri izeh. The characteristic of a tful yom, which was the first source we tried learning out from, something that was immersed that day, whether it be a person or a vessel that came in contact with a sheretz, is not kri izeh. It's not like the characteristics of a kli cheres, of an earthenware vessel, to say that the reason why truma could become pasul is contingent on the fact that, oh, because it could make tuma in its ear space, because a tful yom is not metame from its ear space, and yet still it makes truma pasul. Now, the same thing goes the other way around also. The characteristic of an earthenware vessel is not the same to become an avad tuma in its species. An earthenware vessel never becomes an avad tuma, is not kiri izeh. It's not like the characteristic of a tful yoyim. But you can't say that the reason why a tful yoyim makes truma pasul, is because, that's something pretty severe, because although now it's just a rishon, but whatever this tful yoyim is, it's something that could have been avad tuma. You can't say that because you don't have that stringency by kli cheres. It's not something that's b'mini avad tuma, and yet still it makes truma pasul. So therefore concludes the Gemara to explain Rabbi Yochanan of our Mishnah. Hatzara shavash ben, what's the common denominator between both kli cheres and of tful yoyim? In other words, you have to find something that is a common thread stringency that they both have to say, why is it that they could make truma pasul? So what's the common denominator? Shemutarin b'chulin, that they're permitted in chulin, which actually Rashi has a different girsa, and he says that the common denominator between both of them is that they become tamei. A tful yom we know is called tamei, as the pasuk says in Vayikra Beis, it says uvo hashemesh betar, that the tful yom that had immersed himself in the mikveh that day, it says when it's the sun sets, then it becomes tar, which obviously the inference is that up until now he was tamei. So to an earthenware vessel, the pasuk says tanu bekiraim yutatz, that the earthenware ovens have to be shattered because tameim they're tamei. So we see that both of them are tamei upais and betruma, and they make truma pasul. So therefore, the Gemara says an explanation of Rabbi Yochanan kol shkein kikur sheni. So that's the kal v'chomer to the loaf of bread. That's a sheni l'tuma, where it's even more pasul than the tful yayim, because shepasul b'chulin, where there it's problematic even with chulin, as we explained before, where it's tamei and therefore it's aser with meiser sheni. Where definitely the halacha is going to be over there, the paisel b'truma, that is going to make truma pasul. That's again the source of where Rabbi Yochanan knew this halacha, that a sheni could make at least a truma into a shlishin. And Rashi says that although like our text in our Gemara has the wording that atzala shavasha behen is that it's mutar b'chulin and it's paisel b'truma, he says however based on that nusach, that girsa that we have in our Gemara, it wouldn't be explainable what type of earthenware vessel is something that's permitted with chulin, but it's possible with truma. And he says, on the great deichik, meaning what one would have to go to extremes to explain this, and there would be many different questions and problems with this girsa, and therefore Rashi prefers the girsa as we explained it, which is not that the common denominator is that they're permitted in chulin, but rather that they both become tamei, and yet still they make truma pasul. So again, that's the kal v'chomer that Rabbi Yochanan was going with. However, Rabbi Yochanan held, as was quoted in the Mishnah, that but v'dor achar parach, but the later generation he held was going to ask and refute this kal v'chomer, which is malatzad shavash b'hen, because they would say, wait, what is common about this common denominator between tful yom and kli cheres is shekein yesh b'hen tzad chomer. At least they have some element of astringency, meaning a tful yom has astringency that at least whatever it is, whether a person or a vessel, it could become a nava tuma. And kli cheres has this stringency that it becomes tamei from its ear space, in contradistinction to the kikur sheni, which doesn't have either one of those stringencies. So although, yes, they don't have the same stringency, but because of their, at least, unique stringency, maybe that's why they can make truma pasul. Who said you could say the kal v'chomer to the kikur sheni, which doesn't have either one of those stringencies? Maybe it's not going to be pasul as a truma to make it into a shlishi. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, I hold it's a kal v'chomer. But I'm telling you, later generation is going to say that they're going to say a shlishi is tahar. Where again, as Reb Shuut commented, and he says, what do you mean, Rabbi Yochanan? You're a student Reb Kiva. Not only did he not say it's tahar, he actually said it's tam and even brought a pasik. And again, as we explained, that would be even for chulin that it becomes a shlishi. But the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan min zakai tzad chama leparach. he didn't feel that that's a refutation. In other words, he doesn't consider that a pircha. And the reason being is because, yes, although each one has its own unique stringency, since it's not the same stringency by either one, obviously that's not the point that allows it to make truma possible, because if it was, then the other one would have to have it too. And since they're not the same, that can't be the element why it is, and therefore that gets discounted. And therefore, the kikur sheni is more chamer than both of them, which, as we said, because they're not problematic with chulin, yet kikur sheni is, meaning a chulin could become sheni. And therefore, we said, based on the Kavol Chaimah, since we discount Dayoi, that it's going to make even a chulin, it's going to make truma into a shlishi. And that's because we learn out of they pasul truma, so too regarding a kikur sheni. Now, continuing on this theme, as we learned in explanation of Rabbi Yechonah Mishnah, that how he knows that truma could become a shlishi, although a pasuk only tells us the extent of sheni, as we said, the source of this halach of tuma is regarding a sheretz falling into the, which is the avatum, into the oven, which is the region, and it says whatever is inside, including the loaf of bread, becomes the sheni, is tamei. Where do you know that you could even make a truma, not by chul ma'aser sheni, but truma could become a shlishi? That Rabbi Yechonah learned from a kavol chaimer. And that similarly, the Gemara says, Tang Lun Abraisa. Amr B'Yesi says, Minayin L'Revi'i B'Kedesh Apostle. He takes it a step further in regards to another area of halacha, which is even more Kedesh, more sanctified, which is regarding Kedeshim, sacrifice in the base of Migdash. How do we know that they could even be a Revi, a fourth level? I mean, to say that something that's a Shlishi can then go ahead and touch a carbon and make it also Tame into a Revi. How do we know that that becomes Apostle? So that says Rabbi Yisib Adinu, it's a Kavu Chaimer, as follows. Meaning similarly what we just explained from the halacha of Tful Yoim for a Shlishi of Truma, we're doing now from the halacha of Mechusi Kippurim for a Revi B'Kodesh. It says, Ma Mechusi Kippurim, what we find by somebody, there are certain tumois that besides immersing the mikvah and waiting for sundown, the next day they have to bring a carbon. For example, a Zav or a female version of Zava, a woman that gave birth, Yeledis or Metzaira, where if they're mechusi kippur, means to say they have already immersed in the mikvah, they've already had sundown, but they're lacking their atonement, they didn't bring their korban yet. With halacha ish, shemuta b'truma, they're permitted to partake of truma because they already had harav shemesh, yet possible kodesh, but they're still invalid of partaking of kodshim, as the Gemara Masechet Zivamis learns in Perek Ha'aral. So shlishi should possible b'truma. So regarding a shlishi, which is possible by truma, meaning as we just learned before, which was this halacha of the Kavu Chaimah from Tful Yoim, where we said that a sheni could make a truma into a shlishi. So if we find truma becomes a shlishi, so isn't it a Kavu Chaimah that the shlishi, which is problematic with truma, again, meaning Mechusi Kippurim, is not problematic with truma, it's permitted in truma, yet it's possible with Kodesh. It's going to be a problem with this interaction with Kodeshim. So a Shlishi, which is problematic, meaning a Truma, which is a Shlishi, isn't a Kavu Chaimer, that if it comes into contact with a Kodeshim, it's going to make it into Revi. Now again, Rashi addresses the point, but what should be called Dayai, Lovim and Adin Li is Kenidin. Even though you learn a Kavu Chaimer, but you should say that yes, the Shlishi that becomes possible by Truma, so that is what we're saying will make kachem into pasul, but where do you see that the kachem will become a revi? Maybe it's only going to become, meaning just like truma could become a shlishi. So, oh, okay, so and the halacha mechusi kippurim is not a problem with truma. So, okay, so if that makes a problem with kachem, oh, for sure shlishi should make a problem with kachem. But who said that it's making it into revi? Maybe that, yeah, shlishi, just like truma could become a shlishi, maybe kachem could also become a shlishi. And again, that Rashi says, because if that would be the case, then there wouldn't be any kavu chaimah anymore. And we wouldn't need a halacha, we don't need a source for shlishi b'kodesh. And the reason being is, as Rashi explains, says, not only, as we explained this logic just before, because just like by truma, that we know from a kavu chaimah from Tful Yoim, that it could become a shlishi, for sure, all the more so that kavu chaimah would tell us that kachem would be included in that Kavu Chaimah. But on that, the Gemara goes even one step further and says, no, actually, even biblically, we already know, and that's what the Gemara is explaining over here, we already know v'lamanu shlishi l'kodesh min ha'Torah. We already know a biblical source for kachem, that it's a shlishi, and therefore, if you would say dayoi, meaning to limit the kavochaimer based on what the parameters are from what you're learning from, and not to extend it even further, well, then there wouldn't be any kavochaimer, because I don't need a kavochaimer to tell you that kachim is a shlishi, because I know from already a pasuk that kachim is a shlishi. So therefore, if we're learning it a kavochaimer from a shlishi, to a shlishi from Mechusi Kippurim, where if Mechusi Kippurim is okay with truma, yet problematic with kachim, so regarding a shlishi, which is problematic with truma, all the more so it's going to be problematic with kachim. And again, I don't need you to tell me that, to say, oh, that just like truma comes a shlishi, so too kachim becomes a shlishi, because that, as a Gemara will explain, I know from a pasuk, must be it's extended even further, thus negating daya, and say that it's going to make kachim even to a revi. Therefore, as the Gemara says, therefore, the revi mekavochemer. So it must be that what is the kavochemer teaching us? That kachim will even become revi. Again, that's the kavochemer from Mechusi Kippur. Now, that the Gemara explains, shlich lekodesh matar min olam. Where is the source that tells us that kachim, that a carbon, could even become a shlishi, letuma, and again, therefore, the kavochemer must be telling us revi. It says the pasuk miyikra. It says, va'abasar ashayiga b'chol tamei. It says that the meat of the carbon, of the sacrifice, that will touch anything that's tamei, lo ye'ochol, now the carbon cannot be eaten anymore. Explains the Gemara, mi lo yaskinon, as Rashi explained, meaning, can't we interpret and say that even if this carbon was denoga b'sheni, where it touched a sheni of tamei? And the reason being is because it says in the pasuk, b'chol tamei, if the meat of the carbon touched anything that's tamei. Now, a sheni is called tamei, as we explained before. It says in the pasuk, kol asher b'tocho yitma, whatever is in the oven that the sheretz fell into becomes tamei. Sheretz is an av, the oven is a rishon, the loaf of bread is a sheni. So it's considered tamei in biblical parlance, in the lexicon. So therefore, if it's saying if the carbon, which that's what the pasuk is talking about over there, the meat of a carbon shlamim, which is kachim, it's saying that you can't eat it anymore. V'am rachman lo ya'ochel, can't be eaten. Why not? Because it's tamei. How so? Because it became a shlishi. So you already have a source biblically, that a carbon, that a kachim, can become a shlishi, and therefore revi mekavochemer kedamaran. So therefore, what are we left with the kavochemer to teach us from someone lacking atonement for bringing his carbon, which he's okay with truma, he could eat truma, he's not going to make truma into any tumah, yet he cannot come in contact with his kachim yet. He would make a problem for his carbon. So kavochemer to a shlishi, which is problematic with truma. Kavochaimer for kachim, and again for what? Not for shlishi, because I have a pasuk for, but rather that you could even make kachim into revi. That was the explanation given by Rabbi Yosi for the source of revi b'kodesh. On that asks the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says, Tam beribi, the reasoning, the source of the great master, Rabbi Yosi, who was the sage and the god ladar, the greatest of the generation, he says, Eni de'amahu, says, I don't really understand his logic. Meaning this, that he learned out that you can make kachim into revi from this kavochemer from Mechusi Kippurim. And he says, because shari tshuvasa b'tzidei, because his refutation is right there in what he's learning from. How so? As Rabbi Yochanan explains. Eichel haba machmas tful yoyim. A food item that came tamei because of its contact with a tful yoyim, meaning a food item that touched someone that was tamei, that immersed himself that day, who was called a tful yoyim, which this item is either that of kachim or of truma. Yechiach will refute this kavochemer that Rabbi Yosi is saying. How so? Because shepasal b'trumam, biblically, as we explained before, a food item that comes in contact with a tful yoyim, if it's truma or again, for sure kachim, it becomes pasal. And as we explained, because the pasuk as referred to that's problematic for truma as a tful yoyim, even applies to vessels. As we said, it has to wait for sundown in regards to truma. And obviously that's only regards to touching because food is not, the vessel is not eating the food. By person, you could say it's not regarding transmission. It wouldn't be regarding touching, it would be only regarding eating. But a vessel, you can't say that. So we see that there's a halacha of a tful yoyim making truma, or for sure kachim, pasul. Yet, ve'eina oisrevi ba'kodesh, however, it doesn't make kachim into a revi. As the Gemara will shortly explain, the question of Rabbi Yochanan is based on the premise of the opinion of the Rabban who argue on Abishal. They say that a tful yoyim, who we're discussing, someone that immersed himself that day, is only, quote, paisel b'kachim, only makes things pasel, which means to say that what's coming in contact with it will become invalid, but it doesn't make it tamei, meaning to go ahead and make something else that it touches pasul invalid. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now, of the question of Rabbi Yechanan, is that Rabbi Yisi held like the Rabbanan, and therefore such Rabbi Yechanan, chubasa betzidai, that intrinsically refutes Rabbi Yisi, meinei ubeiv, meaning from his own logic. The reason being is because if it would be true like Rabbi Yisi, well then you should make his same kavuchaymer regarding a food item that became pasul because of its contact with a tful yoim of in regards to the area of kachim. And the reason being is because same kavuchaymer. Again, Rabbi, what was Rabbi Yisi's kavuchaymer based on? A mechusik yipurim, someone that's lacking atonement, who's permitted, once he already had sundown, even though he didn't bring his carbon from the next day yet, he's permitted in Truma, yet he's pasul with kachim. If so, a food item that touched a tful yoim, which is pasul by Truma, as we just explained. So you would say, Einoi dinhu, so isn't a kavuchayme, shayas revi bakaydish, that it should make a revi bakaydish, because that's the same logic that you're going on based on what you're extending over here regarding every shlishi making a revi bakaydish. So why don't you say the same thing regarding an oichel that came in contact with a tful yoim, which obviously, as we'll prove, that Rabbi Yisi holds like the Rabban who argue Nabashal, and they don't say that. They don't say that the Oichel Abba Machm is Tvul Yoim, although that it is a problem with Truma, and it doesn't make a Rabbi Bakaydish. But that refutes the logic of Rabbi Yisi's Kavuchaymer. The time like learn the Braisa. Abashal Oimer, he says, there's three different opinions regarding the ramifications of this halacha of Tumah of Tvul Yoim. Tvul Yoim is unique in the sense of that whatever Tumah he was, whether he was an Ava Tumah, or as a Zav, or if let's say he was a Rishon L'Tumah, which he came in contact with a Sheretz, either way, he was Tumah. Now he immersed himself in the mikveh, which lowers him somewhat. Now what's his status right now? He's not his original Tumah because he immersed himself in the mikveh, but what is he? So that's a matter of dispute. So Abishal says, Tful Yoim is a Tchila L'Kodesh. He says that we considered a Tful Yoim as a Rishon in the context of Kachim. That was a what's called a Maila, an added level of stringency that the rabbis made in regards to the halachas of Kachim, where that his status of Tful Yoim will be considered like a reason for the halachas of Tumah in regards to Kachim. What does that mean? As Abishal explains, Letamei Shnayim, meaning to say that it will transmit Tumah to Kachim one from the other. In other words, the food item that touches the Tful Yoim, who we're saying we're considering as a reason in regards to Kachim, so what touches the food item that touches the Tful Yoim becomes a Sheni, which then makes the next thing that it touches into a shlishi. And again, both of them are given the appellation of tamei in their tamei. The reason being is tamei means to say something that not only itself is tamei, but could then ruin something else and make something else tamei. And then v'liftzul echad, and then the third one makes the fourth one only what's called pasul, meaning that the fourth one will become pasul itself, but it can't go ahead and now invalidate other things and make it, let's say, into even a further level, chamishi, yashishi, into pasul. So that's what Abishal holds. It's letame shnayim, lifsel echad, meaning to say, we can make one thing into a sheni, which that's considered tumah because it can make the next thing into a shlishi, and then it can make the next one, the last one, pasul, meaning into a revi. Remei, he says, that no, it's like all other, the tful yom is like all other shenis, which, as we know, the halacha is, as we mentioned before, that a tful yoim makes truma pasul. So he says that the same thing is that if someone touches the tful yoim, he's also only going to make kachim pasul, just like the tful yoim makes truma pasul. So too, he says that it's mitame echad, where the what touches the tful yoim will become tamei for kachim upoitzel echad, and it makes one more pasul. In other words, we're not starting all the way back by a Rishon according to a Meir. We're starting that the Tvul Yoim is like a Sheni. Yes, it could go down to a Revi, but in other words, the first one that the Tvul Yoim touches becomes a Shlishi, which it's Metameit, because it can then transmit Tumah to a Revi and make that one possible. That's the difference, again, between Abishol and Remeir. They both agree that, which, as we'll see, is significant, that they hold that, yes, an Oichel that's Bo Machmas Tvul Yoim, that came in contact with a Tvul Yoim, could extend all the way and become a Revi Bakaydish. The only difference between them is that, but we're, how far back does it start? Regarding Kachim, do we say that the Tful Yoim is himself a Rishon, and then they can make a Sheni, Shlishim, Revi? Or do we say that, no, he's only like a Sheni, and therefore, but he can make then the Kachim into a Shlishi and then a Revi? But the Chacham, they say that no. Kishem Shepaisel Oichle Truma, Mashke Truma, just like we learned before. that a tful yoim makes truma foods and beverages possible, meaning because all he is, let's say, is like a sheni, and he just makes truma possible, not tummy, to then transmits something tummy to something else. So kach paisel oichle kodesh umashke kodesh. So too regarding kachim, we didn't give it any more stringency than truma. It's whatever touches the tful yoim will only make the kachim possible, and it itself is possible, and it's not going to extend it to anything further. Those are the three different opinions regarding the halachas of a tful yoim in regards to kachim. Now, on that is what Rabbi Yochanan's question was. On Rabbi Yossi, again, based on this assumption that Rabbi Yossi is like the Rabbanon, that obviously the logic of Rabbi Yossi's kavachayme is refuted. How do we refute it? Because from a food item that touches a tful yoim, where although it is making, the tful yoim is making truma pasul, yet it cannot make a revi bakaydish, even though it makes truma pasul. So Rabbi Yossi, his whole logic of a shlishi making a revi bakaydish was based upon the principle of this logic, that if we find mechusi kippurim, that it's not problematic for truma, yet it's problematic for kachim. So therefore, a shlishi, which is problematic for truma, ain't a din shiasakav, that it should make a kodesh into revi. It's not true. I'll show you, says Rabbi Yochanan, that even Rabbi Yossi agrees, based on the opinion of the Chachamim, that you could have something in the area of halacha, specifically a tful yoim, that could be paisel by truma, and yet does not make kachim into revi. It makes it just paisel. It makes it into a shlishi. So that refutes the kal v'chaima of Rabbi Yossi. Now, that mask of the Rav Papa. Rav Papa asks on the refutation of Rabbi Yochanan, says, "Mimayd Rabbi Yossi k'rabbanan sevirli? From where do you know that Rabbi Yossi held like Rabbanan, and that's why you said what's called Truma B'tzidoi, that he's refuted from his own logic, because I'll show you a case that you don't make such a kavochaimer, that you say even though it does make Truma Pasla, it's not going to make Kachem into Revi, but Dilma Kabashal sevirli, maybe Rabbi Yossi held like Kabashal. The Amar that he said, that no, that actually a Tvul Yoim that does make Truma Pasla, could make kachim into revi, which is l'tamei shnayim alif salachad, that he held that a tful yoim makes the next two things tamei, and the thing after that pasul, which extends all the way into a revi b'kodesh. Now, Rashi just points out that, of course, the Gemara, that Republic could have asked and said that not only does Rabbi Yossi have to be like Abishol, he could even be like Remeir, and still it wouldn't be a question on Rabbi Yossi, because Remeir also agrees, as we explained before, that a tful yoim makes a revi b'kodesh. It's just that, as Rashi explains, he wanted to just say even a bigger chiddush. In other words, who says that Rabbi Yossi is not as stringent as Abishal? Maybe he even holds like him. In other words, that a food item that became tamei because of its contact with a tful yoim, if it's that of kachim, that it could be mitame one and pasal one. In other words, because based on biblical law, that which is touches, it becomes pasal. And even if the first one is truma, it's still going to make kachim pasul from the kavochema of mechusi kippurim. Again, we're trying to solidify the kavochema of Rabbi Yossi, and that's the logic Rabbi Yossi was going on. So therefore, says Rav Papa, maybe that's exactly like what Abishal was saying, which is maybe exactly what Rabbi Yossi was saying, and there were no refutation of Rabbi Yossi. Well, he was making the same drasha, which is just like we find by mechusi kippurim, which is permitted by truma. Yet it's problematic with kachim. So a food item of even truma that became tummy because of its contact with the tful yoim, which is problematic for truma, isn't it a kavochayme that it would make a revi b'kodesh? And that's exactly what Abishol was going with. And that's exactly in tandem with the logic of Rabbi Yossi. Now, actually, if it was a kachim item that it came in contact with, so that's what Abishol holds, that they made even an added stringency regarding kachim, where it could even make something tummy into a shlishi, and then to make the next one even pasul, meaning into a revi. But Rav Papa's basic question is why is Rabbi Yochanan asking on Rabbi Yossi, based on the premise of Rabbi Yochanan, of the Chacham's opinion, and there's three remachlekes, when actually it's more logical to say that he held like Abishal, and therefore it's exactly like his logic of this kavochemer. So that answers the Gemara, no. Isolka daitach kabashal sevirli, if you would entertain that Rabbi Yossi held like Abishal, and that is, that it's because of the principle of Rabbi Yossi, based on the halach of the kavochema of Mechusi Kippurim, which makes the first one pasul, And again, as we said, as a rabbinic stringency, it actually makes it tameh. And the reason being is because since at least biblically, it makes the first one possible that it came in contact with, which again, which is like the opinion of, that we're explaining of the Chacham, everyone agrees that it makes the first thing possible. But what we're saying here is that based on this rabbinic stringency, we would make it even into a revi. On that, asks the Gemara, then laisi l'revi ba kodesh mi'oichel shabo machmas tvol yoyim. Then why does Rabbi Yisi go ahead and bring his Kavo Chaymer from Mechus Kippurim? Actually, if he wants to bring a Kavo Chaymer to a Shlishi of Truma that it can make a Kachim into Revi, he should have brought it from this Halacha of Abishal, from a food item that became Tumah from a Tvul Yoyim. As the Gemara explains, you would say as follows. Uma Eichel Abba Machmas Tvul Yoyim, if a food item that became Tumah because of its contact with a Tvul Yoyim, the Tvul Yoyim Gufei, where the person himself that immersed himself in the mikvah, even he himself, who that's the source of the tumah of what's touching it, is mutter b'chulin. Even the tefulim himself is mutter in chulin and in ma'aser sheni. And yet, amrit oyser revi b'kodesh. Still, you're saying that it could go ahead and extend and make a revi b'kodesh. In other words, you said it can make kach and puzzle based on the kavol chaimer from mechusik kippurim. If you're saying that it's in tandem with abishol, and that's actually where abishol is coming from. So therefore, you would say that oichel so to a food item as we continue on top of lamed mar alf shlishi abo machmas sheni. So if a shlishi that became a shlishi of truma because of its contact with a sheni, where the sheni gufei asa bechulin, where a sheni itself is prohibited with chulin, meaning again the source of it, in contrast to a tful yoyim, which its source is actually permitted in chulin, and yet still it makes a revi b'kodesh. So ein adin sheis revi b'kodesh, wouldn't it be a kavo chaimer that it makes a revi b'kodesh? Now, as Rashi explains, so okay, maybe that is a legitimate kavo chaimer. But why is that refute that Rabbi Yisi is learning out from Mechus Kippurim? Is because if he would learn it out from Oichel HaBo Machmas Tvul Yoyim, he would be teaching us an additional halacha. He'd be teaching us two things. First of all, he'd be teaching us that a food item that becomes tamei because of its Tvul Yoyim will make Revi B'Kodesh. In other words, it would be teaching us that he holds like Abishal. In other words, if he really holds like Abishal, at least he would be telling us that he holds like him. And also he would be teaching us this halacha of a shlishi that became tamei because of a sheni, where we would be saying the kavo chaimer that it makes a revi b'kodesh. Now, Rashi just points out that although he didn't say that we should learn out from there that it should make it a chamishi by kachim, which actually we did do by a tful yayim, that's because of, that's a rabbinic maila as we explained before. And that's when a kachim becomes tamei from kachim itself. But what Rabbi Yisi is talking about over here is on biblical level, on the biblical halacha. So therefore asks Rabbi Yechon, and this is his question, this is the thrust of his question, that a revi at least of kachim could have been learned from a eichel abo machmas tvul yoyim if he holds like Abishal. And if he holds like Abishal, he would have been telling us that he holds like Abishal, because he would be learning it out from there, which would be coming based on the Kavo Chomer from Mechus Kippurim, that it could make a Revi B'Kodesh. That's how Abishal and Remeir know this halacha, that it can make Revi B'Kodesh. And then it would also be telling us regarding a regular Shlishi that became Tamei from a Sheni, where there it's problematic with Chulin. For sure it should make Revi B'Kodesh, because Tfulim itself, that's the source of what we're saying could make Revi B'Kodesh, itself is not even problematic with Chulin, Kavo Chomer, for a Shlishi that became Tamei from a Sheni, that it can make Revi B'Kodesh. Now, on that, Rabbi Yechanan addresses and he says, now, and if you're going to say that, no, it's not a question, why I'm saying that he should have learned it, the Kavo Chaimer, from Oich HaBo Machmas Tvul Yoyim, and not like he does learn it from the Halacha of, as he's learning it from Mechus Kippurim, which, again, that's why Rabbi Yechanan is saying that obviously he didn't hold like Abishal, because if he did, he would have learned it from and again, if he didn't learn like Abishal, read like the Chachamim, then it's Truvasa B'tzidai. So now he's addressing, he's saying, now, if you're going to say, no, that's not a question, no, you can't learn out from Oichel Abba Machmas Tvul Yoyim, because you could ask, Malat Tvul Yoyim, how could you learn out as if it's more Kal Tvul Yoyim? And to say Revi B'Kodesh, and therefore as if it's more Chomer by the Shlishi to make Revi B'Kodesh, no, Tvul Yoyim is more stringent. Shekin avatoma, because it's something that could become an avatoma. As we said, it's something before tevila that it's an avatoma. On that, says Rabbi Yechonah, no. Ha'aisina, but Rabbi Yisi learns out from a kavo chaimer from Mechusi Kippurim, where you could also ask that same refutation and say, whoa, how can you learn that from Mechusi Kippurim, where that's an avatomo, and yet v'loy parche? Rabbi Yossi himself doesn't ask that as a refutation. He doesn't consider that as a pircha, and the reason being, as says Rashi, is because since the Tful Yoyim, or for sure Mechusi Kippurim, already had sundown, already immersed himself in the mikvah, so that tumah is already gone. So therefore, we don't consider that as a stringency because he was an avat tumah. And therefore, concludes Rabbi Yechanan, he has a question on Rabbi Yossi's Kal Vachomer, because as he just illustrated, to answer the question that Rav Papa had addressed, that it must be Rabbi Yossi holds like the Chachamim, not like Abba Shaul. Because if he held like Abba Shaul, then he shouldn't have learned the Kal Vachomer from Mechusi Kippurim, that a shlishi can make a reviva kodesh. He should have learned it out from the halacha actually of Abba Shaul itself, which is when the food item comes in contact with the tful yayim, where tful yayim is okay with chulun, and yet still it makes a reviva kodesh. So a shlishi, which its source, just like tful yayim is the source of the eichel, is problematic with chulun, for sure it's going to be problematic with a reviva kodesh, which then that would have told us that he holds like Abba Shaul, because that's your premise, he's saying he holds like Abba Shaul, and it would have told us this halacha. From the fact that he doesn't say that, and again, as we just pointed out, it wouldn't be a pircha that it's because it's an avatum, because if he held that was a pircha, then you could ask the same pircha where he actually does learn out from, which is Mechutzi Kippurim, which is also avatum, in contrast to Shlesha, which is not an avatum, and yet still he learns a Kal Vachomer. So from the fact that he doesn't say the Kal Vachomer from Oichal B'machzimus Tful Yoyim, obviously he does not hold like Abba Shaul, rather he holds like the Chachamim, and if he holds like the Chachamim, so then it's what's called Shavasa B'tzidu, because that case of Oichal B'machzimus Tful Yoyim, which is like the Chachamim, actually is a case of where the Tfulyam makes Truma puzzle, yet it does not make Kachem into Revi, because actually the Tfulyam makes Kachem and Truma into the same Psul, not Tame, same Psul as the other one, and therefore it only extends, let's say, up until a Shlishi, not up until a Revi, and therefore that refutes the logic of Abuse himself, which is based on the premise that if something is going to be puzzled by Truma, for sure it's going to make Kachem into a Revi. Because if we find something that's not problematic, like Mechusi Kippurim with Truma, yet it's problematic with Kachim, all the more so, as we said, that Daya is not a limitation over here by the Kachim, which if a Shlishi, which we don't need it to tell you, Kavachem a Shlishi, because we already know that biblically, must be telling us Revi, because it's problematic with Truma Shlishi, for sure it's making Kachim into Revi. That's not true, as we find by the Halacha of the Chachamim. That's Rabbi Yechanan's question on Rabbi Yossi's Kavachem from Mechusi Kippurim to say that Kachim could become a Revi by Kodesh by a Shlishi, Habot Machmas, a Sheni.